Welcome to Journalism Now, number 25. And today we have a couple guys from the Air Force that were nice enough to call in and talk about what the Air Force and the other branches of the military are doing with emerging media, digital stuff, and social media as well. So I'm really interested and going to do my best to let you guys talk and me listen. And I'm really interested in what you all do. And first off, to start off, really, really glad you were able to call in, and really appreciate what you guys do every day. So with us, we have Eric Hoffmeyer, and you're a second lieutenant now. Do I have the ranking right?
That's right. I'm down at Homestead Air Reserve Base, just south of Miami. And I'm proud to say that I went to school with Dave Stanton a couple years ago at the University of Florida.
Yeah, became friends during our graduate programs and actually played some softball together. And we also have Captain David Faggard, who's going to go by Dave for the rest of the podcast. And he's the Air Force Director of Emerging Media and dialing in from Afghanistan. And then I'll just tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to thank you guys for having me on. We're about 8.5 hours ahead of you guys, and I am calling through a satellite phone that's bouncing off of a location inside of Kabul, and then off a location inside of another place inside the Middle East that we don't really discuss that base. And then it's bouncing through the Pentagon down to Florida. So if I lose you guys, I want to apologize, but I will call you back. Right now, I'm deployed to Bagram Airfield, Afghanistan, where I'm the Chief of Public Affairs for the 455th Air Expeditionary Wing, and the wing is comprised of about 5,000 airmen, comprised of many Air Force weapon systems to include air mobility and airdrop, electronic attack and electronic warfare, close air support, and combat search and rescue. And I'm with these airmen every day, going out into Afghanistan, literally taking a fight to Al-Qaeda and to the Taliban. So it's a very rewarding job that I have right now. Social media is playing a piece, it plays one role in my overall communication, in my communication toolbox, if you will, traditional media relations as well as community relations and internal information all play a role too in communicating why the Air Force is in Afghanistan. That, in a nutshell, is where I am and what I'm doing right now.
And what about you, Eric? What is your primary job duties?
Sure, I'm the public affairs officer here at the 42nd Fighter Wing at Homestead Air Reserve Base. I haven't been deployed for a couple years, so I'm actually really looking forward to listening to Dave and all the new developments going on overseas and deploy locations with social media. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that from him. But as far as social media goes, we're really incorporating this into our everyday use here at our airbase, and I'm certainly looking forward to talking about that later on. But as a public affairs officer in the Air Force, it's very similar to public relations for corporations and other governmental units. We have a public affairs officer pretty much assigned to every military unit out there, whether it be Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, or Air Force. And it's our job to interface and work with our community as much as possible and develop those good relations. But again, I'm here at Homestead and looking forward to the podcast. So what's the first topic?
Well, we'll start off with Dave. Just if you could talk about either how, either emerging media or social media or whatever combination, how that fits into your daily activities, or if you have any specific examples of, where it really helped you accomplish something. And then later on, we can also talk about, hang-ups and where you run into problems and, clearance issues and all that as well, of whatever you want to talk about.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, the biggest thing, in a nation where less than 10% of the populace has access to electricity, let alone the Internet, using social media and new media, now media, whatever we're calling it today, using that tool to basically talk with the local population is very, very difficult. We're in a country right now where people live in secluded societies up in remote reaches of mountains and, in areas that don't even have roads, let alone a modern communication system. So we are using social media primarily as a way to communicate back to the folks in the States or folks in the Western world. Recently during the Afghan elections, I know there were several, actually I believe there was one presidential candidate that was using Twitter. I think he was kind of dabbling in that in the August 20th elections. But all in all, it's very difficult to get access to any of the sites. And the primary reason is bandwidth. It's not policy, because we finally have broken through the policy barrier that used to prohibit airmen and other service members from accessing social media sites. An internet service provider, satellite, could cost me quite a bit of money here. So we're actually doing some workarounds where I communicate with my with my peers and colleagues back in the Pentagon, and then they help us get some momentum behind some of the social media programs we're trying to do. So it's not necessarily about me, and I hate the fact that I'm doing this, because social media is about continuing an ongoing dialogue with users. But unfortunately, I can't continue that ongoing dialogue just because access is so difficult. So we're using social media as an augmentation to traditional communication devices, or mediums, if you will, I guess is a better word. So if I happen to have a major newsworthy event, for example, we just airdropped out of the back of one of our C-130s a piece of heavy equipment. It was an M198 howitzer cannon. It basically filled up the entire back end of a C-130. We took a C-130 out to a very remote part of Afghanistan where there was no airfield. We loaded that C-130 up and we flew it out pretty close to the Pakistan border, where it would be used against al-Qaeda and insurgents inside of Afghanistan. And we basically had a photographer and a videographer, broadcaster-type video person on board the flight. Reporters, I don't know if you guys got to see Wired.com and Hodges report from the airdrop, but we used social media through a reach back capability in the Pentagon to help us get that message out. And it's one example.
What about you, Eric? How do you incorporate social media or conversation in your daily routine?
For us, being a reserve base, I'm a full-time reservist. What I like to use it for primarily is communicating with our reservists who aren't here during the week, especially their families, to know what's going on with the Air Force. And it's a way that I'm able to reach out and touch our reservists. We have 1,400 reservists, all from South Florida. And any way I can to keep them up to date on what's happening at the reserve unit helps them feel more inclusive. And like Dave said, it's one aspect that we can use as communication professionals to get our message out. It's not the only cure-all, certainly, but it's in some cases it's very effective. I'm starting to get a lot of family members on our Facebook page, and they're starting to communicate and add to the conversation and bring up issues that, from a command point of view, are really good to know. I use it that way. I'm also using social media to promote events. We've got a big air show coming up in November, and that's one conduit which I get information out to the public. But here at home bases, we're actually seeing these Facebook pages and Twitter pages pop up all over the United States. I think almost every unit would have one right now. I would venture to say they do, and if they don't, they should be getting it within the next couple months. But it's just another way to communicate with our public, and also humanizes the military a little bit too. I think a lot of times when people see when they see media or stories about the military, a lot of times they'll see people just marching or working, on things. But we're your neighbors, and by having a Facebook page, it puts a good image on our Air Force. And another aspect is it helps recruiting a lot. I mean, it's a really powerful message for our recruiters when we're telling people, hey, we don't tell you about our organization. I can tell you all I want, but hey, go to our Facebook page, talk to some people, check out the stories and what's going on. But it's been a fun tool, and we as communicators, for the Air Force, and I know a lot of PR people are wrestling with how to deal with this in their organizations outside the military. It's been fun to continually evolve and work with these new this new technology, these new programs.
Dave, do you have any scenarios where social media or digital technologies helped you solve a problem, either whether it was with locals in the area where you're stationed and operating, or maybe with American public back, but some examples of scenarios where it helped solve a problem for you?
Yeah, well, I don't know that it helped. I'll give you an example. I worked, maybe 6 months ago. It didn't really help me, but it helped a family member through our Air Force YouTube page, youtube.com/AFBlueTube. We had a family member who was trying desperately to reach out and reach a Army member inside Korea, inside South Korea, the Republic of Korea. There was a death in the family, I believe somewhere in the Midwest, and they had no way to get in touch with them. The traditional way would be, you know, that family member should have contacted the Red Cross to find out, where the family member was stationed. And but there's a process for that. However, they didn't know that process, so they reached out to me through YouTube, and then, you know, one night late at night, I'm surfing, replying to comments on our YouTube channel, and I found this this person online that was asking us for help. I reached over to U.S. Forces Korea's YouTube page, chatted with them, talked to them, and handed them off. And it turns out we linked the soldier up who was deployed to South Korea back with his family, got him in touch with each other. It wasn't a major win or anything like that as far as a major problem, but, you know, it's a little thing that social media allowed for horizontal to happen from, you know, anybody out there in Midwest America can talk directly to some guy in the Pentagon who can reach directly over to South Korea and link family members back up. That's the kind of thing that, you know, maybe just 3 or 4 or 5 years ago that we wouldn't have had that ability to do that fast. It would have taken a little bit more time. So not really necessarily a problem, but more of a way that that we could streamline the communication process.
For sure. Eric, when we were kind of talking about, you know, setting up this phone call, you made mention of an operation that you weren't directly involved with, but that utilized social media to answer some questions. So why don't you kind of describe that scenario?
Sure, absolutely. Another real benefit of sites like YouTube and Facebook is countering propaganda. There's a story that really caught my attention in the Los Angeles Times a couple months ago. It was in response to, there was a grenade attack in a remote village in Afghanistan, and it ended up, sadly, hurting and killing some Afghan civilians. Enemy forces said that it stemmed from the United States, that we were responsible for the attack. However, we had video showing that was not the case at all, that our soldiers on the ground were not responsible for this. And what we did is immediately, within hours, the public affairs folks in Afghanistan were able to get that video out on YouTube. And it was widely, it was a pretty, pretty big story for a while about what we're doing. So by posting this video online, it really proved that, hey, we were not responsible for these civilian casualties. And this is something very important that, you know, being the propaganda and information war, if you will, we're engaged in right now, it's another conduit to tell the public and show them that we're there and, you know, and to counter this propaganda by enemy forces. So it's really important. And it's also important to keep up. Like, for instance, like enemy and Al-Qaeda, they have websites they update quite frequently. They have journalists they interface with. They even have spokespeople and PR people, if you will, that immediately go out and send releases and call these journalists with some pretty abhorrent claims about what's going on over there. So it's very important for us to tell what's really going on.
Do you, this could apply to either one of you, do in those sort of scenarios where you're trying to, you know, combat propaganda, are you initiating communication with maybe with the press or with the public via, you know, traditional means and digital means as well? Are you doing it first, or is it mostly like a reactionary response? Like the one you were just describing there, Eric, was like, you know, a reactionary response. What's kind of the mix of those two things?
Well, preferably we like to be the ones proactively, the ones releasing it and not responding all the time. But I certainly would like to leave that up to Dave. I'd be really interested to know, like, the newest developments and what they're doing over in Afghanistan.
Sure. That's it. You hit the nail on the head. Al Qaeda, and you know specifically the Taliban, you know, because they're right here in my area of operations. They're very engaged online. You know, the Taliban have a decent website. It pops up. It shows great news. You know, most of it's propaganda and lies. However, you know, they spread their information through their cause online. You know, people can look at that site. They can probably backtrack to see wherever it's being developed and paid for and what service it's being hosted through. It's pretty interesting. Also dealing with insurgency a few months ago, you know, I had been noticing on YouTube that Al-Qaeda was posting quite a bit of propaganda on YouTube just before the U.S. presidential elections. They were posting videos, propaganda videos, showing American and coalition service members being killed, usually through IEDs. But the interesting thing about that was that the enemy was posting the videos with keywords and tags in English that were pro-American and pro-English type keywords. So if you're just some average guy out in the world or gal out in the world and you type in something on YouTube like maybe F-15 smart bombs, because that's my brand, you know, I own F-15 smart bombs, you know, or I want to talk about it, or I want to listen to it, or I want to see what people are saying about it, they would use that key phrase. And what they would do is they would show, you know, a U.S. Marine convoy or whatever being attacked. That is direct propaganda that is infiltrating its way into America's internet system. You know, there are millions of hits on those videos, literally millions, from people all over the world. And those people may not be insurgents, and they may not be Al-Qaeda, and they may not be bad people. Most of them probably are good people that are watching that propaganda. So the way I try to traditionally work with reporters is continuously proactive. I have, you know, dozens of reporters that I try and talk to on a daily basis by phone and by email communication, just trying to stay ahead of what's happening over here. There are many national reporters and international reporters here based out of Kabul, some here near the base that I've had on base several times, and just trying to talk to them about what's happening, because in the public affairs business, it's about relationships. So, you know, like Eric was mentioning, if there is a report, you know, maybe somebody calls in a tip that such and such area, you know, maybe there's a school or maybe there's something that's been blown up, these reporters may call me to confirm. And I can easily call over and say, well, I have no airplanes anywhere near that, you know, maybe hundreds and hundreds of miles away at that time. And it can easily either squelch out a rumor, or I can try and direct that propaganda back at the Taliban or back at Al-Qaeda or whoever enemy is trying to, you know, propagandize the traditional press.
What sort of decisions go into in those situations about what information you release? Because clearly you're going to get into some material that's sensitive and operation-based and that you don't want to release. So how do you make those decisions about just telling where the planes were at what specific time, because that shows that you weren't involved with one incident? How is that balanced?
Honestly, most of that, like I go back to, is trust. If I can bring a reporter in and I can show them maybe with some type of GPS device that we had on a soldier or a Humvee or whatever, I can show them in real time where those vehicles were and just ask that they not report on that. That would be a hypothetical situation. Another type of situation, you know, would just be me dialoguing with that person. I mean, I have the credibility of the United States of America behind me, and most, if not all, international reporters will know that, you know, that if I say, you know, we don't have an airplane within 100 miles or Humvee convoy or whatever within hundreds of miles of that place, I have my credibility at stake, as well as my base, my unit, and the U.S. Air Force at stake too. The one thing that the Air Force and all the other service public affairs pride ourselves on is that we do not lie. I can't tell you the information. Like, for example, where our fighter bombers happen to be right now in the sky, that I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you that, because that would endanger their lives or it would endanger the mission. We have dozens of airplanes up in the sky at any time protecting coalition service members, not just U.S. service members, but Afghan civilians as well. And for me to release where they are at this exact moment would potentially put people's lives in danger, as well as people on the ground. And you know, we're the United States is here at the invitation of this government, and we're here to develop this nation and bring peace and security here. And the last thing I want to do is jeopardize that in any way.
And if I could add to that too, to add to what Dave was saying, not only do you have to have credibility with the media, but you also have to have credibility with your organization. And that's something that this can relate to any other PR-oriented person listening to this, is that he's able to do the things he does because the people he works with, the operators, the pilots, the commanders, they know that we have their best interests in mind, and we're going to constantly stay in touch with them and understand what information we can and can't release. We understand what information that could potentially endanger our service members on the ground. You know, we need to know that information so that it's not released. And by developing that good relationship with our commanders who know that we know what we're doing, it really helps us communicate the message. And by doing that, too, to keep in touch and know everything that's going on, it really helps a lot.
The last real question I have for both of you is, what do you wish you had or had access to, whether it's existing services and technology? And I mean, obviously, you guys have access to all sorts of stuff that that we don't. But in the social media realm or the bandwidth, the internet access sort of stuff, what would make your life easier if you had in place, whether it's domestically or deployed like in Afghanistan? You tell me what would make your life easier.
I can tell you right now that I remember when I was deployed a couple of years ago. I was deployed during the time we had a big push in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was working and working and trying to get our story out. And then the Anna Nicole Smith tragedy came up, and it just completely dominated the airwaves. I remember sitting over in Southwest Asia thinking, wow, what do I got to do to tell people what we're doing? But Facebook was out then, but it wasn't anywhere near the size it is now. And the fact that it is here is helping us communicate directly with the public through YouTube, Facebook, and MySpace. That alone, just in a couple years, has been a tremendous asset to the military and just the American public, being able to hear the voices of those deployed and for us to tell what their neighbors, loved ones, friends and family are doing over there. So I'll say I don't really know what I would wish for. Maybe it'll come up with something later, but I will say just in the last couple of years has made a communicator's job very interesting and very more effective.
Yeah, I guess a couple of things I would ask is, the biggest thing is policy. And as far as the service members go, service members, they want to tell Americans and the world what they're doing because they're doing good things. Just the other day, I saw an 8-year-old girl who had been shot up in a firefight with Al Qaeda. We came in, we swooped in, we picked her and her 13-year-old brother up. We immediately gave them life-saving care, brought them back to our hospital here. She's in extreme agony. We've been over several times to visit her, but the amount of care that went into taking her from the firefight, from with a helicopter to a field hospital, loading her in a C-130, and then bringing her all the way here to Bagram, where we could give her literally some of the best treatment this country has ever seen as far as medical care, the same exact medical care that our service members see, as well as the insurgents. We give them that same medical care too. So allowing those service members to share what they're involved with, involved in every single day, that is what is going to win this war. When the Afghans trust us and they see that we're here to stay, and that America truly does want what is better, we want the best for these people. That is something I wish we had. Obviously, I wish we also had access to better equipment and to more bandwidth in Afghanistan. And I would ask the third thing is that Americans shouldn't give up. The recent demonstrations we saw in Iran, with the amount of people, young people on Twitter, and then young people all over the world changing their locations on their Twitter feed to reflect Iran, Tehran, that was amazing because there was this horizontal barrier being broken with young people all over the world who were just trying to get the message out. It wasn't that they stood for one politic or another, but it was just it was just amazing to see how people were communicating virally and horizontally. So yeah, the third thing I would ask is that the Americans not give up with this war, and that they understand what the people are doing here, what the coalition is doing here. It's the best thing for the long term protection of society as a whole, to ensure that another 9/11 doesn't happen. Those are probably the three things I would like.
And I'll definitely, in on the page where the podcast is located, I'll in the show notes, I'm going to link up some of the sites that you guys have mentioned, like the YouTube channel and some things like that. And I'll probably ask Eric later for some other links he might want to send, or Dave, if you wanted to send me something via email as well, that'd be great.
Sure, and if you actually look at Air Force Link today, www.af.mil, we just launched a new version. Quite a bit of work and time went into our new version, and then got quite a bit of new media, social media links over on the right. So you can actually link to everything from there. And we built a new registration page where all government agencies can build an online directory through the Air Force. So it's a pretty cool site right now.
Excellent. Thank you both so much for doing this. This has been really, really interesting to see a completely different, same but much different perspective on a lot of the issues that, you know, newspaper and PR folks are working through right now. So, I mean, thank you guys both so much.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having us.